Expressing your love can look many different ways, and with the right jewelry gift from Blue Nile, it can truly sparkle. Blue Nile's collection of classic diamond jewelry makes for the kind of gift that speaks volumes without saying a single word. Or switch things up with a sapphire piece sure to spark conversation. Either way, Blue Nile's diamond guarantee ensures you get the highest quality at the best price. Express yourself with Blue Nile, the original online jeweler, at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
First time, long time, Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs looking up in the AFC West. Could they lose their second straight this Sunday? Lamar's Ravens beat Mahomes' Chiefs last week, but should Baltimore now be on upset alert against the Lions? And can Stafford outduel Brady in Sunday's showdown in Hollywood? Happy Football Friday, everyone. Thanks for joining us. It is a rainy day here in New York. Stay in bed, cuddle up, watch a little First Things First. Jenna, Nick, we got Broussard, we got Wilds. All right, Kevin Wilds, you think Brady's looking past the Rams? I feel like there's a big game on the schedule next week, the week after this one.
In 10 days, Jenna, 10 days,
Let's hear it.
Will be 2-2. Mark it down, take it to Fox Bet right now,
wow.
7:30 in the morning. 2-2,
double
10 days.
Pick. Wow. Double
Don't
pick.
Do that. Save yep. yourself You'll, some money.
The old Don't, double yep. pick. Yo, double pick. All right, well, we're going to start with another star-studded matchup in the NFC. You got Aaron Rodgers and the Packers visiting Jimmy Garoppolo in the 2-0 Niners. I'm excited for this one. When the MVP, remember, was unhappy and searching for options this offseason, the Niners, if you recall, were one of the teams that picked up the phone and asked, hey, Packers, can we have Aaron Rodgers? And Green Bay was like, hey, San Fran, that would be a no-go. Well, now NFL Network's Mike Silver reporting this week, that issue has long been forgotten. Nobody's upset about it, but clearly it's just one of the many storylines looming over this 2019 NFC Championship rematch. Nick, I'm going to start with you. Who will we learn more about Sunday night, the 1-1 Packers or the 2-0 Niners?
Oh, I think America's going to learn a lot more about the Niners. That the Niners are legitimate Super Bowl contenders. That the Niners are much closer to what they were in 2019, when, by the way, they beat the Packers twice, 37-8 and 37-20, than they were who they were in 2020, when a injury-riddled Niners team got beat up by Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. I have major, major concerns about this game from a Green Bay perspective, and I don't think I'm the only one. The biggest concern is they're already on their left guard playing left tackle. Bakhtiari's still dealing with the injury he suffered last season. They slid over Elgton Jenkins to left tackle, but he hasn't practiced this week. So if he doesn't play, you're in a brutal spot. Additionally, as we talked about throughout the week, Green Bay has gotten no pressure on the quarterback all year. And so that is a huge problem for them. And when you consider the fact they have one sack, and if you remember that one sack was Jared Goff's tiny hands just losing the football, no one even touched him, they really have zero sacks. So that's not great. On top of all that, Broussard, when I say I'm not the only one who's concerned, I think Aaron Rodgers is a little concerned. A little Easter egg in his interview with Pat McAfee, if you remember. He said, listen, we have a really tough schedule this year. We're going to have ups and downs. And he was talking about the media overreacting, is how we read it. I think he was also kind of talking about this game. Like, I know we very well likely might lose this week. And I don't want to deal with all the nonsense I dealt with after week one. Now, the schedule softens up in the short term right after this week. But I think Aaron's concerned about this game. If I'm a Packer fan, I'd be concerned about this game. And I think this is a loss for Green Bay. And people start looking at the Niners as one of the top two teams in the NFC, Broussard.
Ooh.
I agree with much of what you said, Nick. And I, look, we're going to learn a lot about both teams because neither has played a really strong opponent yet. All right? So San Fran, I like them just as much as you do, but they haven't really beaten a great team either. They looked good against Detroit early and then let them back in the game. And obviously last week they played Philadelphia, which we don't think is very strong. So we're going to learn about both, but I'm going more with Green Bay. We're going to learn more about the Packers for many of the reasons that you said. You pointed out how in 2019, San Francisco owned the Packers. And these teams are very similar. I know people will say, oh, that was 2 years ago. The teams are essentially the same. And the fact is, when San Francisco has been healthy with Jimmy Garoppolo and the rest of their core players, Nick Bosa and the like, they've owned Green Bay. All right, and it was only that year, 2019, but Jimmy G is 2-0 against the Packers. I know he's not better than Aaron Rodgers, but what we also know is that with San Francisco, they win when Jimmy G plays. It's as simple as that. I keep saying this. They're 24-8 when he's a starter, and in those same that same period, they're 7-27 when he's not there, even with the great genius Kyle Shanahan. So the one of the reasons they've beat up Green Bay when healthy is because they've owned them in the trenches. They've been too tough for and too physical for Green Bay at the line of scrimmage and the point of attack. So I want to see, is this a different Packers team? Are they made of the right stuff? Will they match the physical play of Green Bay at the point of attack? So I'm looking for that. And also, Nick, you brought up Aaron Rodgers. I'm glad you did. Because I still think there are questions about him. Not about how great he still is. Not about can he still, you know, be one of the best quarterbacks in the league. But is he going to be engaged week in, week out? All right? Wow. This Packers team has played one half. They've played one half of great football. That's it. Really good football. Two quarters out of eight they've played well. And I'm not saying I don't expect Aaron Rodgers to be Aaron Rodgers. But I'm just saying, after it's just one game against a weak Detroit Lions team's Wilds that was supposed to quiet all the critics after that long offseason, I want to see it again. If he struggles again, then I think the questions will abound once more, Wilds.
Okay, Broussard, are you sharpening your knife? Are you putting your knives away? Because I felt like Aaron Rodgers, when he went on McAfee and tried to, like, torch people, to be honest with you, and he was very upset on how people doubted him. Everyone's like, ah, you know, I felt like most of the world said, okay, you were probably right. You're the MVP. There's going to be ups and downs. And I felt like you went back a little bit, but it also feels like you're taking your criticism car out of the garage. You're opening it up, right? You're opening the garage door. You might take it out on the highway. You might not. How sharp are your knives, or how fast are you going to drive the criticism car if he has a mediocre game?
Well, if he has a mediocre game, I'm not necessarily going to go off on him, but we will learn something. We will learn that at least at this point, this is not the same Aaron Rodgers who came out ticked off last year and won the MVP award. All right, so that's what we learn. I got to see how he plays before I determine how sharp the knives will be. I'm not trying to pick on him, but look, I think the questions are still there.
Well, so here's where I'll push back a bit is, I think Aaron Rodgers could play a great game and the Packers lose. The Packers, until Za'Darius Smith gets back, they have no pass rush. They are already without their all-pro left tackle. They might be without their all-pro guard who has replaced him at left tackle, which is going to make a team that, to Broussard's point, they couldn't block when they were healthy 2 years ago, probably unblockable. So that, and where one of the reasons I like the Niners this year is I actually like the way they won against Philly. Against Detroit, in my individual record book, I have the Niners down as blowing out Detroit. I do not care. I don't think they won by eight. I know the world does. They didn't. They were up 24 points at the two-minute warning. I don't care that they coasted on the final lap. But so they beat Detroit by scoring damn near 50, right? Then they play the Eagles. And it's like, oh, it's going to be a defensive, low-scoring matchup. We can win one of those as well. I think the Niners are a very well-rounded team. Now, I am not worshiping at the altar of quarterback wins the way Broussard and Wilds are in relation to Jimmy Garoppolo. But I do care about the fact that he has not thrown an interception this year, that he's been playing clean football. And so I don't think they can win a Super Bowl with him at quarterback. I think eventually they make the transition to Trey Lance. But if they start out 3-0 and they beat Green Bay, I think it says a lot about them. And I think Green Bay, their path to a Super Bowl is going to be A, getting their best players back in Smith and Bakhtiari, or two of their four best players, and B, Rodgers catching fire in the postseason. I don't think, Jenna, this game is going to be an indicator of that, but I just don't think there's a good matchup for the Packers this weekend.
I was going to say, still a big test for Aaron Rodgers, regardless of how impactful the game is going to be in Jimmy G and the 49ers. Much more on this game coming up. We got Eric Mangini joining us. But we are talking Lamar and the Ravens now, coming off the big win in week two. Should they be on upset alert Sunday in Detroit? Tell you why we're asking that next. First things first. Drawing a blank.
Expressing your love can look many different ways. And with the right jewelry gift from Blue Nile, it can truly sparkle. Blue Nile's collection of classic diamond jewelry makes for the kind of gift that speaks volumes without saying a single word. Or switch things up with a sapphire piece sure to spark conversation. Either way, Blue Nile's diamond guarantee ensures you get the highest quality at the best price. Express yourself with Blue Nile, the original online jeweler, at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Lamar and the Ravens coming off the big win in week two over the Chiefs. On to the Motor City in week three to take on Jared Goff and the Lions. Lamar did miss practice on Thursday. Broussard, the team that should be on upset alert, though, in week three is blank.
The Cleveland Browns, Jenna, and I hate to do this for one of my hometown teams. I moved around a lot as a kid, but Cleveland should be on upset alert because they, until proven otherwise, the Browns play to the level of their competition. All right, and when you do that, you are always going to be in the crosshairs of a potential upset. Last year,
that's fair.
They squeaked by. They struggled with, but they beat Cincinnati, Houston, Philadelphia, Jacksonville, all hapless teams last year. And then a few weeks after those games, they lost to the Jets. It caught up to them. All right? And when you play to the level of your competition, it will eventually catch up with them. So this is a big test for the Browns. You got a tough Chicago defense. They're a brick wall against the run. So I think a lot of this is going to be on Baker Mayfield and him doing it through the air. But he's missing Jarvis Landry. Now, OBJ might be back, which is good news. But how does Baker handle that? Does he force the ball to OBJ? Does he feel too much pressure to get him involved quickly? So does that change things? And then finally, Chicago, I think they're going to be on an emotional high because everybody's been clamoring to see Justin Fields. His first start ever in the NFL.
Yep.
So this is alert, guys, alert. They're not an upset pick, but it's an alert.
An alert.
Watch out.
Okay.
It's on, what is it, red, orange,
right,
whatever.
Learned from
it's
Broussard on this.
Brown.
All right, 90% of what Broussard said I think was really smart commentary. I missed 10% of it because I got distracted, I must admit, because number one fan of the show, Lil Wayne, just texted me, and it just says neck right. That's what I'm calling you now. Neck right. You know what? That could catch on, Wheezy. I like that. I like that a lot, actually. All right. Now, before we give my answer, I want to explain something here. We are doing a pick segment later in the show where I will give you some underdogs that will win outright. So I'm traveling down the Broussard path of upset alert. Not sure if this upset comes in, but anytime two teams are playing and the spread's more than seven, and the underdog has the better quarterback, home, the favorite's got to be on upset alert. So I'm obviously talking about Washington versus Buffalo. So I know what you're thinking. Oh, Nick, you must be high on Heinicke. I do actually like Heinicke a bit.
Yeah.
However, this is not about Heinicke being awesome. This is about quietly Josh Allen being horrible this year. Oh, Nick, how bad could he be? Oh, well, there's 32 teams in football, and he's 33rd in yards per pass. He's 29th in rating. He's 31st in completion percentage. It was underrated and underreported last week. Aaron Rodgers talking about integrity in media. Where's the reportage on the Buffalo Bills? Oh, because they won 35-0. Everybody played well. Au contraire, mon ami, Josh Allen played terribly. Somehow they won 35-0 anyway. He's yet to play a good game this season. He didn't play well in his final playoff game last year against Kansas City. He didn't play that well in his previous playoff game last year who the hell did they play in the second round? Whomever it was, I forget what the playoff bracket was. They didn't play that well in that. He didn't play that well in that game either. The Bills don't have a Josh Allen problem. But if they lose to the Washington and he plays poorly and sprays the ball around the field once again, there could start to be one. And so Josh Allen, fresh off that amazing contract, you would like to see him, you know, not be 30th in the league in every major passing category. So I think they've got to be on upset alert wilds against that Washington defense.
Okay, I'm stretching out my arm because I'm going to throw a grenade into the segment in a second. Are you ready? Again, this is an alert. It's very Broussard-esque. It's like when you see on Waze that there's a, you know, cop ahead. And you say, maybe it's there, maybe it's not. You should be on alert. That's what it is. Chiefs should be on alert against the Chargers. Oh, Wilds, no. 20-0. We can still go 20-0 with a loss. Okay, here's why. We learned three things from the Chiefs-Ravens game. Number one is Tyreek Hill can be neutralized. Anthony Averett shut him down. So the idea that Tyreek Hill has to have this monster game, he doesn't have to. He had 3 catches for 14 yards. He can be neutralized with a backup guy. You don't need Jalen Ramsey on the field. Okay, thing we learned number two.
Two people.
The Chiefs cannot stop the run.
That's
Chiefs
fine.
Cannot stop the run. They're the worst run defense in the league. They're giving up 200 yards. The second worst is giving up 160 yards. So not only are they bad, they're bad by a large margin. Three, to beat the Chiefs, you need great quarterback play, which brings me to Justin Herbert. Now, Justin Herbert, this is going to get you so mad, but it's true. Justin Herbert, week 17, beat the Chiefs when they rested their starters. I'm not saying that's the biggest game in the world. Of course it's not. Andy Reid rested his starters. But is it absolutely nothing? No, I don't think so. At the very least, it's good to go into Arrowhead as a visualization exercise and throw some touchdowns. So I think that matters a little bit. The other time he played the Chiefs, when everybody played, remember, it was his very first start. He got the call like, hey, we just injured Tyrod Taylor with a needle in the lungs. You have to play. And what did he do? Threw for over 300 yards, had 2 touchdowns in a game that the Chiefs won in overtime. So do I think Justin Herbert, after a year of experience, going into Arrowhead, doing some visualization exercises, is better than the guy who played the Chiefs and brought them to overtime for a win after a year in the league? I do. So I'm saying it's an alert, Nick. I'm not saying they win, but it's an alert. Yeah. It's a high-level alert. I've upgraded it, or it's a high-level alert, Chargers and Chiefs.
Yeah. All right, I've got 2 visualization exercises for Wilds to do during the break. The first one is visualize the Chiefs game where Tyreek Hill was shut down by one person, because it doesn't exist. He wasn't shut down by Anthony Everett. He was double-teamed the entire game. The second visualization exercise is visualize Monday morning you looking like a fool because the Chiefs roll over the Chargers, and you're like, oh, buddy beat Chad Henne in week 17. Why didn't that carry over? Because of course it didn't, you doofus. This is a terrible take.
Just
it's
an alert, Broussard. Alert.
Okay, an alert. And I'm alerting the audience.
Can you visualize?
That's a terrible take.
I'm proud of you,
Can you visualize Sam Darnold 3-0? Because that's what's going on. Sam Darnold and the Panthers, a perfect 3-0 after winning last night. Is Carolina more contender or pretender? We discuss next. First things first. Let's run the no huddle.
Panther beat the, you were right, I did love it. Panthers beat the Texans last night on Thursday Night Football. They got to 3-0 thanks in large part to two rushing touchdowns from quarterback Sam Darnold. Jets are like, wait, what? What did he do? But Carolina paid a price. Christian McCaffrey and rookie corner J.C. Horn both left with injuries. So, Nick, let me ask you this. Are Sam Darnold and the 3-0 Panthers actual contenders despite McCaffrey's injury?
Well, contenders for what? Could they playoff contenders? Right. Possibly, which is far greater than anyone expected going into the year. And I'll tell you the two best things the Panthers have going for them. The first one is the Jets are a cursed franchise. And usually we think the curse ends, you know, with the Jets. But maybe part of the, like, what would be the most painful outcome for Jets fans who are used to painful outcomes? Sam Darnold leaving and immediately becoming not only serviceable, but good and leading a team to the playoffs. Like, so they have the curse karma working in their favor if the Jets curse extends that far. The other thing, if you're not into the metaphysical realms, that the Panthers have going for them is that is an outstanding defense. Now, I understand they have gone up against Zach Wilson, Jameis Winston, and Davis Mills.
Right.
I get that, but they have done it at such a high level. They have allowed the sixth fewest points in the NFL, Broussard, and they've played an extra game than everybody else. They've allowed fewer points than 25 teams who have only played two games. They've played three. So for all those reasons, I think that you've got to at least acknowledge it's possible the Panthers could be in playoff contention throughout the year. But the Horn looks like he's done for the year, multiple broken bones in his foot. And the offense is very Christian McCaffrey dependent. So we got to see how serious that hamstring injury is. But you got to give him credit. Three dominant defensive performances.
Right.
And the defense looks great on paper so far. But like you said, the Jets and the Texans. And we're not sure what New Orleans is yet. All right. So those are the three teams they play. We'll find out next week when they play Dallas, which one thing Dallas can do is score. So we will see really what that defense is made of next week. But I am with you, Nick. I think they're a contender for the playoffs. They're not a Super Bowl contender. But they will battle, I think, the New Orleans Saints for one of those final two wild card spots in the NFC. In part, I mentioned the weak schedule to start. I think they have a weak schedule overall. Okay, they play Dallas next week, as I mentioned, and then they go 6 weeks without meeting a team that made the playoffs a year ago. The only real juggernaut they face is their two division games against Tampa Bay. And if Buffalo, you know, you mentioned Josh Allen earlier, Nick, if he returns to form, you could throw the Bills in there. But they really don't have a very tough schedule, so I think that does make them a contender for the playoffs. I will say this about McCaffrey. We have to start wondering, did the 2018-2019 seasons take too much out of him? 2019, he goes 1,000 yards rushing, 1,000 yards receiving. The year before, he came close to doing the same thing. And then last year, 13 games he misses because of three injuries, and then he pulls up lame with a hamstring. So it just is something that has to worry you if you're a Carolina fan, Wilds. Something to watch with McCaffrey.
All right, we're going to move on. Talk some Chiefs now. Chiefs trying to get back on track Sunday. It's weird to even say that sentence, trying to get back on track. They welcome, or unwelcome, if you will, Justin Herbert and the Chargers to Kansas City. It's only week three, but the loser of this game will be cellar dwellers in the AFC West. How about that? Mahomes, as you'd imagine, has turned the page on last week, focused on nothing but the Chargers. Take a listen.
I think everybody's ready to go. We lost a really good football team, and it was a really good football game. But it's still a long season, and we got an AFC West opponent, a great football team coming into town. So you got to kind of turn the page and move on to the next opponent.
Well, you just heard Wilds put the Chiefs on upset alert. Broussard, should Mahomes and the Chiefs be worried about dropping their second straight?
All right, Wilds, I admire your gumption. All right, you went out there. I got to give you respect for that, but no. All right, I'm not going with you on this one. Not worried at all if you're Kansas City, but I do think this is a good litmus test for the Chiefs. You were right, Waz. Their defense is atrocious, especially against the run, and I get it. They played Cleveland and Baltimore, two of the top running teams in the league. Okay. Now, Nick tells us their pass defense is legit. Well, we will find out this week because the Chargers aren't much on the ground, but Justin Herbert does it through the air. So if the Chargers, who only scored 17 points last week against Dallas, at best, Dallas' defense is middle of the road. And I get they had two touchdowns taken away from penalties, but still, they ended with 17 points. If it takes a shootout, if Mahomes wins this game 40-35,
oh, I like this.
All right, and it took a shootout to win it, Nick, then you have to be a bit concerned because then defense is officially in trouble. All right, so that's all I'm saying.
I love it.
I'm not going with Wilds and picking the upset. But a little yellow. Is yellow the lowest form of alert? Yellow, green, whatever?
No.
Yellow?
No, you're not picking the upset. Instead, what you're doing is trying to preset the narrative where the Chiefs could score 40 points and I'm supposed to be concerned about the end result. That's why, by the way, the committee has them at the top of the NFL tiers in the pyramid, is because we're already like, well, they might score 40 against a playoff team, but that's concerning. A playoff team, by the way, that has allowed 16 and 20 points in its two games, or a potential playoff team with the Chargers. No, it's fine. Here's the thing about the Chargers. I believe Herbert is awesome, but he hasn't really played like it this year, oddly. They scored 20 and 17 respectively in their two games. Herbert has two touchdowns and three picks. I think he's arguably the best of the super young quarterbacks in the NFL, but he needs to play a little bit better. But much like it was bad luck for the Chiefs that the Ravens lost that heartbreaker right before they played Kansas City to the Raiders, I think it's bad luck for the Chargers that the Chiefs lost a heartbreaker to Baltimore. I think the Chiefs will be even more laser focused than usual. I do not think Tyreek Hill is going to be shut down for a second straight game, even if they double team him throughout. And there is the element of you're back at Arrowhead for a game for the first time in a while. They do need to win. They fall into 1-2 would be a problem. So for all those reasons, I think the Chiefs win, and I think for the first time all year, they cover Wilds. What? Wow. What do you mean?
Can I say something? Just a little analysis of watching you do sports television. You said they do need to win. Falling to 1-2 would be a problem. That's the first time you've showed any lack of confidence in the Chiefs in the last 2 years that I've been on the show. Like, they do need to win.
I picked it up too, Wild.
Well, they do need to win.
I picked it up too.
Right?
It
was there.
It's not a lack of confidence. It's
gonna, look at your Twitter feed.
I'm not concerned.
It's
going to
be filled with neck tweets, and this guy lost confidence in the Chiefs. Check it out.
Didn't lose confidence.
You're concerned, Nick. It's all over your body. You're concerned.
And they need to win.
Facts in the armor. Let's head to Foxborough. Little Jameis, little Mac, little throws, which is what we've seen from that Patriots offense so far this season. But
nice, Jenna.
Those dinks and dunks.
Jenna.
Thank you. Those dinks and dunks have made for consistent, mistake-free play from the rookie quarterback. See, Wilds, I put it right back in place. While it's been a trick-or-treat start through 2 weeks for Jameis as the starter. All right, Wilds, come on. I brought it back. Which quarterback do you trust more on Sunday?
No, Jenna.
Jameis?
No. Jenna?
Or Mac Jones?
We know.
No, I didn't? Okay.
That hurt my feelings, Jenna. I'll be 100% honest. I'll be transparent.
For
the record.
Truth hurts. I think Def Leppard said that.
Okay. There is a big difference.
What did Def Leppard say?
Between the best golfer in the world and a guy who was at Top Shot Golf bombing shots and drinking Bud Lights. You don't get style points in the NFL. Mac Jones hasn't thrown an interception and is 1-1. And if he's completing passes. Can we put up the graphic, Dusty, on how good Mac Jones is? Oh my God. Is he the best this year? Is this a graphic for the last 10 years? Is this the graphic for the last 20? This is a graphic of all time in the NFL. If Joe Namath could be on this graphic, he would be. Mac Jones is the absolute best. Yes, even ahead of EJ Manuel. So look, it is not a style contest, although
he works against you. Wild, you understand that that graphic proves my point. You understand that, right? That what do all those quarterbacks have in common, with the possible exception of Derek Carr? Their team saw him in training camp in preseason.
We're like, oh boy. Training wheels, because this guy, we can't trust him. Like, there's not a good... Derek Carr is the only quarterback on there that up to this point in their career hasn't been a total failure.
MVP.
Total failure. Like, what are you talking about?
Two undefeated quarterbacks on the list.
I don't
know. Okay, yeah. That's great. So here's the thing. Trust is an interesting word here, because I do believe Jameis is more likely to throw a pick than Mac Jones, but you are now facing a very good defense and an offense that can be explosive. So the question is, I don't want to get crazy. I'm not going to ask, are they going to take the training wheels off for Mac Jones? Will they maybe let him take the tricycle out for a spin? Because as of now, Mac Jones' completions are averaging 4 yards down the field. His leading receiver in yards and catches, Broussard, is running back James White, and that is not going to beat the Saints. So even though I'm not as high on the Saints as you are, they have a very good defense, and if Jameis doesn't have a terrible game, they can score points. You're going to have to take some shots down the field. I'm very interested. And by the way, you want to have it. Wild's been talking about this game against the Bucs for a year. You definitely are going to have to take shots down the field to beat Tampa. So see if they start amping it up. Maybe his average depth of target can be 5 yards instead of 4 yards where it is right now. We'll see. I don't want to get crazy, but we'll see, Broussard.
All right. I'm going with my man. All right, I'm going with my man, Jameis Winston. I think yesterday.
Oh, we're back.
I think yesterday. Well, Dark Horse. Don't forget Dark Horse. I think yesterday I said that Belichick would confuse him with his defense. All right, and I wanna take that back. All right, I had to do a little research. Jameis has only played against Belichick one time, 2017, when he was with Tampa Bay. It was a close game. Belichick won 19-14. But Jameis played well. He threw for 334 yards, one touchdown, no picks. And if a young Jameis, who was still wild, right? Still hadn't been tutored by Sean Payton and Drew Brees. If he handled a Belichick defense that was top five in the league and went to the Super Bowl that year, even though they lost, then I think he'll be fine this weekend against the Patriots. So I'm going with Jameis in a bounce back game. And you guys will stop mocking me and Jameis after this weekend.
I disagree.
Won't be no more Jameis jokes.
Yes, there will.
They're Broussard jokes.
Let's head out west to Hollywood. Bucks, Rams, the marquee matchup of the weekend. And Matt Stafford outduel Tom Brady in Sunday's showdown. Next, first things first, Friday. Well, there's no bowl in this Bucks-Rams on Sunday. That's quite a transition, Jenna. These two powerhouses are at or near the top of most people's hierarchy in the NFC this season. Bucks have won 10 straight games. Bucks have scored 30-plus in their last 9. Oh, that's not bad. Meanwhile, Matt Stafford's Rams offense has been nothing shy of stellar in her first 2 games in L.A. What's up, Jared Goff? Here is Tom Brady on Sunday's opponent.
This week's really challenging because they have good players in the secondary and they have a good front. We lost to them last year. And, they've been one of the top-rated defenses in the league. They're one of the greatest defensive players of all time. So everything about this week is challenging. Really good defense, really good offense. We got a long ways to travel. It's a big game for both of us.
We got former NFL head coach Eric Mangini joining the conversation. Coach, good morning. We want to start with you, Nick. Great offenses, great defenses. What will be the biggest determining factor, do you think, in America's game of the week on Sunday?
Well, so here's the thing. Coach inspired me with his brilliant Coach inspired me with his brilliant film breakdown of their previous matchup.
to go back and rewatch when they played last year. Because what I was leaning towards is what's going to determine this game is what Brady alluded to. Does Aaron Donald ruin the football game? Does Aaron Donald, because no quarterbacks like getting pressure, particularly up the middle, but that does seem to be like the one way to stop Tom Brady. Pressure from the edges typically doesn't get to him. I know he had that fumble last week, but that's rare. It's that up the middle pressure. But something really unique happened in that last football game when they played last year. It was the only game all year Aaron Donald had no tackles, no sacks, no stats. He played 90% of the snaps and had no statistical impact. But the Bucs offense did nothing. Brady made a bunch of mistakes and the Rams rolled. And so we talk about this from, you know, like a defense shutting down Travis Kelce. We're going to take away Kelce, but that then means other guys are going to be open. My question is this, Coach. Can the opposite happen too much? Can an offensive line focus so much on one great player that you stop him, but now everyone else gets one-on-ones, everyone else gets free, and that ends up being more, you know, more damaging to your game plan than if Aaron Donald got off? Because it was so weird that Donald did nothing, but it worked for the Rams in their last matchup.
Yeah, it can definitely happen that way, and it can happen in protection. It can happen with coverage. When you focus on one player and you get out of the schemes that you've been working on, it can be difficult for teams to do that if they're not used to doing that. Now, I think that Tampa Bay, a year with Tom, is probably very different than they were when the last time they faced. So they're probably better at doing those things, because there is no way that Tom's going to go into any game and let their best player ruin the game. He's going to make sure that there's plenty of things that they can do to slow him down, whether it's double teaming him, whether it's chipping him, whether it's running right at him. There's a lot of things that you can incorporate. And the danger in that is exactly what you're saying. It opens up other opportunities for guys to make plays, and it puts other players on the offensive line in positions that they're not going to be able to get any help. So you're trying to balance that off of adjusting your game plan to not let the best player ruin the game without getting it so confusing or putting guys in such vulnerable spots that ends up being the reason you lose the game.
Coach, I had another question. I'm looking at the Rams offense, and I think this is the first big test that Matthew Stafford's had since he's been in L.A. Because we know his track record. He has struggled mightily against teams with winning records. He's 8-67 in his career in those types of games. And everybody likes to blame it on Detroit, but he did have Calvin Johnson. There was one point where they had a top-five defense. He had Ndamukong Suh. They made the playoffs a couple times with Jim Caldwell. So all of those years, you know, all of that wasn't on Detroit. Some of that was on Stafford in those big games. He didn't perform. How confident are you that he's going to go out? And I know Tampa Bay's defense is a bit suspect right now, too. But how do you think he'll perform, and what are the keys for him in this big type of game?
Yeah, that is a great point, Chris, and that is something that I was going to bring up as well. We have seen Stafford in a lot of moments where he's played extremely well, but we haven't seen Stafford in a lot of big moments. And this is the first big moment that he's had in a while. And as I say all the time, to whom much is given, much is expected, and he was brought in to dramatically change this offense and to be able to play big in these big games. And it's going to be interesting to see how he responds. I would imagine that they're going to do everything possible to frustrate him early. And I would imagine that the Rams coaches are going to do everything possible to make sure that he settles down and that he's not trying to push things that aren't there. He's not trying to make plays that aren't there to justify his position.
All right, Coach, I'm going to ask you a tricky question. Because you've talked about the key to preparing for games is keeping the outside noise on the outside. Stay focused. And it's just like that in any other person's life. If you're just a normal person watching at home, you know that if you have something big coming up, you're not necessarily at your best, whether you have a surgery, whether you're getting married, whether you're having a baby. The week before that, you're maybe not frazzled, but you might not be 100% focused. Well, this week, as Tom Brady and the Bucs are preparing for the Rams, which might be, you know, the NFC Championship preview, his dad went on with Tom Curran, talked about Tom Brady and the Patriots. And then old Alex Guerrero had a quote, said, oh, Belichick didn't involve. So Tom Brady was asked about it yesterday, about a game that's 9 days away, and they're playing the Rams, but they're asked about the Patriots game. Take a listen.
Everyone has, you know, protective feelings and emotions as friends and family members, and that's just part of being in sports. And you have a lot of people who, you know, because they're not out there, they want to protect, and it's a very caring, loving thing that a lot of people do. But, you know, from my standpoint, I had a great time. But really, my focus has been on trying to be the best I could be for this team.
So look, Coach, do I think it will be the determining factor that tips the scales towards the Bucs? Maybe not. But do I think it is a factor? I do. Do you agree with me?
Do I agree with you that him being able to dial
thinking
in
about the Patriots?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, gonna, thinking about the Patriots has taken focus off the Rams, yeah.
No, not at all. And look, for Tom, he's been through years and years and years of drilling and practicing and living, focusing on the moment. That hasn't changed. If you want to talk about muscle memory, he has mental muscle memory of being able to focus on what's in front of him. Oh. And look, this happens all the time of your friends or your family or your kids. They want to say something. They get interviewed. They're not necessarily in front of the media very often. They get led down a path, and they say things that can be inflammatory. But for Tom, you know, he understands why they're saying it, and he loves them for being protective. But that's not what he's worried about right now.
What
he's going to go
you,
and
Coach,
try to win this game.
What about for you? Hold on, because you were drilled and taught in the same school as Brady. When you took over for the Jets, there wasn't part of your brain that knew immediately when the first matchup against the Patriots was and didn't take any of your focus, any of your preparation away from the week right before? I'm not assuming I know the answer. It'd be incredible if it didn't.
No, you think about those things, but those games don't matter unless you take care of all the things that come up before. Or they end up mattering less unless you take care of the things that come before.
Okay.
And one of the biggest derailers of success is this idea that you can control anything in the future, you can affect anything in the past. And you spend so much time trying to talk to young guys especially about just being in the moment and dealing with what you're dealing with. And it's a hard thing to do. Tom will be dialed in on the Patriots when it's that time. But right now, he lost last year when they played. He was intercepted twice. He had a chance to come back and tie the game. And a lot of people at that point felt like the experiment wasn't going very well and wasn't going to go very well. So I'm sure that Tom wants to. There's an element of establishing that he can play really well against this defense. And he can deal with the challenges that they face because it's something he didn't do well last year. And that, to me, is where his focus will be.
Muscle memory. Coach, stay in this moment, stay through a commercial break moment, and then come back with us for another segment. We'll have plenty more fun moments that we'll all get to share in. We'll head north up to San Francisco. Aaron Rodgers out to prove his haters wrong. Will he be successful in silencing the trolls? So many fun moments coming up. Don't go anywhere. First things first. Former NFL head coach Eric Mangini back with us now on a Friday morning. Star-studded matchup in the NFC. We're looking forward to Aaron Rodgers and the Packers visiting Jimmy Garoppolo and those 2-0 Niners. You know, when the MVP was unhappy and he was searching for options this offseason, the Niners, if you recall, were one of the teams that picked up the phone. They were like, hey, Packers, can we have Aaron Rodgers? And Green Bay was like, hey, San Fran, no, you cannot.
NFL Network's Mike Silver reported this week that that hasn't been forgotten, but Matt LaFleur rebuked, said nobody's upset about it. Just one of the storylines looming over the 2019 NFC Championship rematch. Hey, Chris Broussard, who will we learn more about Sunday night, the 1-1 Packers or the 2-0 Niners?
Well, Jenna, I think we're going to learn a lot about both teams because neither one has really played a strong opponent. All right, so I think we'll learn a lot about both, but I'm going to go more with Green Bay. Green Bay has played one half of good football this year. Two out of eight quarters they've played well. So I want to see what they come out and look like. And that includes Aaron Rodgers. He was great last week in the second half. Great for the whole game, pretty much. But I still think there could be questions about, not about his greatness and not about what we know he can do, but will he be engaged every single week? I mean, he's done a lot of talking. He's doing a lot of other things. So I want to see him come out against a very strong defense and see how he plays. So I think we'll learn something there. But also just overall, Green Bay, San Francisco has owned them when Jimmy Garoppolo and the rest of their team, Nick Bosa and the like, are healthy. And it's only been two times. Garoppolo's 2-0 against the Packers. It was back in 2019 when the 49ers wasted them in the regular season and then in the playoffs as well. And so the thing is, if you look at those games, the 49ers were too tough and too physical for Green Bay at the line of scrimmage. And the games were over essentially at the halftime. So I want to see if Green Bay can handle the physicality of the 49ers and what Aaron Rodgers does against that tough defense, Coach.
Yeah, to me, this is absolutely Green Bay having everything to prove. And it's for a lot of reasons. It's for the reason that you mentioned, where when they went out there in 19, they got beat up. And that's where Rodgers talked about them not dealing with a road game and a West Coast game as well as they should have. And there was a little bit of criticism of the head coach, even though it was veiled at that point. And then you come out to this season and you have all the things that happened the offseason. You go out and you play the game that you play the first game of the season and how bad that is for Rodgers. And then you come back and you play okay and you're talking about the media criticism. You're focusing on everything besides what's important, which is getting your team better and which is moving forward. And that's really what the criticism was about based off of his offseason, is that he wasn't doing enough to move the team forward. And if anything, it was the opposite. So he's got to be able to back up all the things that he's been talking about this season. And then it comes down to their defense. They're not very good against the run. They're not very good on third down. And are they going to be able to hold up, or is this going to be a dramatic problem throughout the course of the season? To me, they've got everything to prove. Yeah. And they've got to prove that they're legit contenders.
Yeah, and I think Rodgers is worried about this game. I do think they're legit contenders. I think they'll be a very dangerous playoff team. But in that interview with McAfee, one of the things Rodgers said is, listen, we have a really tough schedule. We're going to have ups and downs. And I think part of that tough schedule is he knows they're going to San Francisco, who, as Broussard mentioned, annihilated them two times in 2019 in San Francisco when both teams were healthy. And Wilds, one of the problems is Green Bay right now isn't healthy. They have one sack on the season, and that was because Goff just dropped the football. Well, that's not just happenstance. Za'Darius Smith is hurt. Rodgers has been under duress. That's not just happenstance. Bakhtiari's not back, and now they might not even have Elgton Jenkins, who they slid over from left guard to play left tackle. So I don't think they have the horses for this week. And the other element is, and I'm going to try to tee you up here, your beloved Jimmy Garoppolo, who Coach and I have called a make-it-happen quarterback, meaning he'll make it happen for his team or the other team, has not been that this year. He's not throwing picks, and it's not just luck. He hasn't thrown interceptable passes thus far this season. So with their running game, that defense, that O-line, when Jimmy G plays clean, Wilds, they're hard to beat. And so I think this is a San Francisco win. And by the way, vindication for the Tears, which has San Francisco as one of the three best teams
That's
in football.
But
go
about.
Ahead, Wilds.
Yes, that's why I would like you to give even more credit to old drama-free Jimmy G. He's not on TMZ, he's not on McAfee, he's not on Jeopardy. All he's doing is keeping on winning games. And I know you're like, ah, Wilds. When you look at his stats, what has he got? Oh, he's completing 71% of his passes. He's thrown for 500 yards. He hasn't lost a game. He hasn't thrown an interception. He's got sacked once, which is the best of everyone. The guy plays mistake-free football, coach, and no one wants to give him any credit. So if he wins this game, if I'm the 49ers brass, I can take all the Trey Lance stuff and just put it aside until next year. Like, Trey Lance, we'll see you next year. This guy has started off hot and just beat Aaron Rodgers. I don't think we're going to learn anything about Jimmy G. I just want people to come to the realization that I am fully in, and that Broussard is, I would say, maybe 75% in, that Jimmy G is a solid quarterback that can get you to the Super Bowl. Because he literally was in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, you may not want to get you may not want to be too far in, because the second he does start throwing some interceptions, Trey Lance is going to come in. So it's he has a leash, but it's not a very long leash. You don't spend that much on a quarterback and not want him to play and play soon.
Coach, thank you. You're fun. We had a good time. Oh, we got what?
No, nope, we gotta get the next pick.
We got Nick on your screen.
You're out of here.
Yes.
Yeah.
Nick's picks. You might want to pay attention. There is money to be won.
Oh,
Nick, you're kicking things off with the Bucks and the Rams. Go ahead, buddy.
All right. So here's how it's gonna work, America. I'm gonna give you 3 picks a week. I'm going to guarantee a winning record at the end of the season. If not, well, we'll deal with the repercussions of that later. We're going to start with more tier vindication. The Buccaneers are road favorites at the Rams. Road favorites at the Rams. Give me a break. This game should be Rams -2. You're getting 3.5 points of free value. We're going with the Rams. We're taking the points, but we don't need them because the Rams are going to win outright. Give me the next game. Oh, the Kansas City Chiefs. Did you know the Chiefs are 0-2 this year? You might say, no, they're not, Nick. They're 1-1. But they're 0-2 against the spread. That ends Sunday. The Chiefs not only win, they cover. They win by 7. They're not going to screw around with the silly Clyde Edwards-Helaire give-up plays on first down. Throw, throw, throw. Quick passes. By the way, Joey Bosa hasn't practiced this week. Chris Harris Jr. hasn't practiced this week. That ain't great for the Chargers. Chiefs win and cover. And third pick, also my lock of the week. This is a special pick. With locks of the week, we're going to give them to you at 70% this year. You might say, Nick, it's not a lock at 70%. No, no, no. You make a lot of money. The Giants are 3-point favorites at home. The Giants should not be 3-point favorites against any team in football. The Giants being what our bookmaker friends are telling us is Giants Falcons, same team. Give them 3 points for playing at the Meadowlands and that's it, or whatever it's called now, MetLife. That's insanity. Lock of the week. Atlanta not only covers, they win outright. Atlanta +3. So there you go. The 2-1 makes you some money. We're going Rams plus a point and a half, Chiefs -6.5, and the Falcons +3. The 2 underdogs win outright. Let's make some money, America. What up, Brew? What up? Let's go.
I like these picks. Jenna, I'm going to take out a reverse mortgage and put all my money on these picks. I like them all, to be honest with you. Like every single one.
I
like every single one.
I'm going to start my betting career this weekend. I'm going to find someone to go by, Broussard.
What's wrong, Drew?
Yeah.
This is blatant defense of your pick of the Falcons making the playoffs.
Tears.
That's all this, and your tears, where you got the Giants as the worst team in the league. I'm going with the Giants. I'm going with the Giants. They look good last week.
You're going against the lock?
You know that.
You're going against the lock of the week?
I'm going against the lock. Mark it down. I've got the Giants at home this weekend. They're taking out your Falcons. And you'll have to admit Monday,
Jenna,
your Falcons are not making the playoffs.
Broussard's going to be at my house for that game. I'm going to go on IG Live as the Falcons go up 17 to watch him cry and have to pay a lot of money out. That's right.
I don't know if there's going to be room. You're both going to have to sit side by side. quiet in that house watching that game because no one's passing each other in front of each other.
Oh, my God. House shade.
We're back talking.
My God, Jenna.
Lamar and the Ravens. I saw that living room. My goodness. Should the Ravens be an upset alert against the Lions? I jest, even though you only have one card. Dining out for stories to start your morning, sponsored by Ram Trucks, built to serve. We are talking Bucks and Rams. So excited this weekend. These two powerhouses are at or near the top. Most people's NFC hierarchy this season. Great offenses, great defenses, great storylines. So, Nick, who wins America's Game of the Week Sunday on Fox? Bucks or Rams?
Big weekend for the much maligned committee. And this will be the beginning of its vindication. When the Bucks fall to the Rams in Los Angeles and the Rams take the rightful spot amongst everyone's tiers or power rankings as the best team in the NFC, as the committee already has them. And here's why. Here's the thing.
The power rankings.
I don't understand why Tampa is favored on the road. This implies, by the way, this line implies Tampa should be and will be favored every game they play the rest of the season. I think that is folly. Secondarily, I understand, Broussard, that Tampa's offense has looked exceptional. Nobody can deny that. What's also true is they've played the Cowboys and the Falcons. This game right here starts a stretch of not good, but potentially great defenses Tampa has to play. While we're playing the highlights, I'll tell you the schedule. Rams, Patriots, Dolphins, Eagles, Bears, Saints, Washington. That's seven in a row. The worst defense they play in the next seven is the Bears. So I think we're going to get a good idea of how great this offense actually is. I also think that last year when they played, they picked their poison. We're going to make sure Aaron Donald doesn't do anything against us. And Donald didn't have a single sack, a single tackle even. Everyone else got off instead. That didn't work for him, so I think they might adjust, and now Aaron Donald can have a big game. For all those reasons and countless more I don't have time to get to, the Rams win at home against the Bucks.
Nick, let me tell you why the Bucks are favored. Because they're the defending Super Bowl champions. They went into the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field last year and won the NFC Championship game. They brought back all their starters. They're better. And I know the defense hasn't shown up yet, but that defense has a track record, and so does the defensive coordinator, Todd Bowles, that tells me have faith. All right, and I know you don't want to hear this, Nick, because this is going to add major league insult to injury. But I believe Tom Brady wants to go 20-0. You picked the wrong team to go 20-0. I believe I'm not saying they will, but he wants to, which Wilds, because I know you're going here. Wilds, yeah. This shows Brady won't overlook this game. Brady, he can talk about Foxborough, Papa Brady, and Alex Guerrero can go out there and talk about the Patriots and what the return to New England will be like next week. No, Tom Brady is focused on the Rams. And those Rams, as good as they are, and I like them, but they struggled with Indianapolis last week. An Indianapolis team that was banged up across the offensive line. An Indianapolis team that starts Carson Wentz at quarterback and was missing their best receiver, T.Y. Hilton. Tom Brady's going, even without Antonio Brown, who might miss for COVID Wilds, Tom Brady will have a big day because they got weapons galore. Tampa Bay wins. To everybody else on this panel's surprise.
Okay. It would be surprising to me because I'll give you, I don't think he goes 20-0. I don't think he goes 3-1. I think in 10 days we are going to wake up and the Tampa Bay Bucks are going to be 2-2. But first we'll talk about Sunday's game. There's three truths and a mystery. Here's the truth. One, you're not going to be able to do anything against Jalen Ramsey. Against the Colts, he was targeted four times. A guy, he gave up one catch, 7 yards, like a zero quarterback rating if you're targeting him. So somebody is out. Maybe it's Mike Evans, and you got AB out. So this massive offense all of a sudden has shrank courtesy of Jalen Ramsey. Number two, you know Matthew Stafford's going to cook.
They've had six touchdowns. He's thrown for six touchdowns. They haven't had a drive less than 70 yards. So these aren't like short field position drive. They are moving the football with ease. Number three, Aaron Donald. As Nick mentioned earlier, the last time they played the Bucs, Aaron Donald wasn't statistically relevant. No tackles, no sacks, and they won. So either he's not statistically relevant, getting double teamed, and someone else is making it happen, or he is statistically relevant and is up in Brady's grill. Brady got hit a few times last week, coughed up a fumble. And the mystery is this, and Nick, I'll throw it to you. You can't tell me that the biggest game in NFL regular season history, Tom Brady isn't looking ahead a little bit. He's not a robot. He is a normal person. And if you had a wedding, a surgery, your wife's giving birth, like you, in 9 days out, you're a little bit like this. You're a little bit off. And I think Tom Brady is. You might say, Wilds, no, he's totally focused on it. He is? Then why is he literally being asked questions about it at the press conference? It's the first time I ever remember at a press conference before a big game, you're talking about the game 2 weeks from now. So I think Tom Brady is great. I do not think he is a robot. I think part of his brain is thinking to next week in the Patriots. I think they lose this week.
Well, even if the audience is like, no, Brady's not wired like that, I would imagine there are certainly players on the Bucs who are wired like that, who are thinking about, you know, Brady brought us a Super Bowl. Brady changed my life. Brady made us relevant. We've got to go beat the Patriots. Like, so I do think there could be players looking past it. I believe the Rams are going to win. My only trepidation, and Broussard mentioned it earlier, so I want to give him credit before we wrap the show, is that guy who just threw that pass right there, Matt Stafford. Stafford's been great. This is also, arguably, the first big game Matt Stafford has played in 5 years. I think he's going to be fine, but Stafford has not played in a single game with any stakes whatsoever since January of 2017. That part makes me a little nervous, Jenna, but the Rams win.
Conversation continues right now on Undisputed. Have a great weekend. We'll see you.